You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Walking this road together today on Dr. Michelle Live. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. It is a beautiful morning, a little bit cloudy here. It's going to be raining here soon, and it's probably raining in many parts of the country right now. Very, very different than what I'm used to all the time here. But as the clouds start rolling in and I can really feel those changes that fall is bringing, it causes a reflective moment. And I think it's very beautiful to take the times of the seasons, and it is no, you know, people were way more tied to the earth than we are now. We don't even hardly know the difference between day and night, let alone seasons and what that might mean. So in that way, when we look at, gosh, you know, the to every season, or to everything there is a season, there's a reason why we get reflective. You know, we have so many of, with every single change, with every single season, we have so many different opportunities, the harvest, the fall time of when we put in so much of our emotions. And if we look at it in the harvesting of our own lives and our relationships and our families, and, you know, that which we thought we had planted perhaps didn't come through, may have had a few storms or a few droughts coming in there. And so right now we're coming into fall, and fall brings with it its own sense of dying and passing, and its own sense of preparing for renewal. So just as one reaps during a fall time, the harvest, what's left of the harvest, maybe it's abundant, maybe it isn't. That isn't the end of the story, because everything is in preparation for the next new life. Everything. So when you pick the harvest, or if the harvest rots, or if the harvest dries out, the ground is changing itself and preparing itself for the next growth. There might be different growth coming up, like we have secondary growth in a forest, where let's say there's a natural disaster, and as has happened all throughout the history of the earth, meteor falls, or there's something happens over here, lightning strikes and the whole forest goes down. We have what's called secondary growth. And we take a look right now, 1,000 years later, and think, wow, look at this ancient forest. But in reality, it might be the second, third, or fourth, or fifth, or sixth growth. Might have been palm trees there at one time, and now it's the mountains. So when we look at where we're at, we have to always keep in mind that we are in constant transition. We are always in transition. So I want to talk today not only about your own personal transition, I also want to talk about some fundamental aspects and qualities that you need to prepare in advance. Let's say we're going to our little seed store now for next year's harvest, and we can start preparing the groundwork now and grow. I'm going to be doing this so we can just kind of grow together. Let's talk about some of the fundamental things that we need to develop in ourselves and that we need to look for in others in order to have the best possible harvest we can have when it comes time for that harvest to happen. I'm talking about things like, what are the fundamental elements, only a few of them, that are absolutely necessary to be a good friend and to be a friend. Period. Because that friend will imply, as we go on in the program, you'll find out, the word friend will imply your husband, your wife, your lover, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your acquaintance, your neighbor. It's going to make a difference. So, you know, I was reminded, I took my car in. My car is just a disaster. So I took my car in. There's a young man who a friend of mine recommended 3 or 4 years ago. And this man, man, he's an industrious kind of guy. And he was going to college to learn more about being a car mechanic, or I don't even know the world there. So I don't even know what to call him exactly. So he was in college. He was working at a auto place. And he also would do his auto work on the side. So he would come to your house, which was so convenient for me. So he comes up to the house and he's always pleasant, happy. Doesn't matter what time, after school, after this, after that. And that was a few years ago. And he was always someone I knew that because, and it's so odd that we just assume that a person of, let's say 20, maybe going into college, that they're going to be way more open to being kind and being generous than someone who's got their business already. And sure, we can look at it and say people do that until they, you know, they do it as a marketing ploy. But I'm not going to go there. I want to talk about this person. So one day I accidentally put, I think it was windshield wiper fluid in my brakes, or the brake fluid. And so, I mean, I have him on my phone. I text him. And he's in class, but he's able to say, don't start the car, don't do anything, I will be over. And just that right there was so healing for me. And so he has no idea how important just knowing that I could text this kid and he would tell me what to do. I didn't get a text back saying I'm in school. There's probably 6 or 7 car dealerships around or car places around you. I mean, there are auto mechanics all over the place. I could probably walk to one from where I was at the time. But that wasn't a thing on his lips. Now, how many friends do you know that you call friends, maybe even boyfriends, girlfriends, maybe even husbands and wives? That if you were in that place, there would be a long list of, well, I have to do this and then I have to eat dinner, or, you know, I have to think about it. I have to scratch my head. You know, I'm kind of busy right now. Why don't you call AAA or whatever? That's all reasonable. It's not mean. It's not creepy, but it's not generosity of soul. This man was generosity of soul. Sometimes we accept it comes with youth. Bring it on, bring it on. But then they start to learn. They start to learn what other people are doing. And they start to have someone older than them say, well, you can't do that because you can't start a business that way. And, you know, there's all these different boxes that we put each other in. So I want today to talk about things like generosity of the soul. I want to start talking about things like loyalty. Loyalty. Knowing that you could call somebody and they would be there. And that's something that is really hard to come by. And oftentimes, have you been there? I know you've been there. I know you've been there, that the very, very person you should be able to call on, the very person, and says, I will be here. You just call me. And you call them and they say no. What does that do to you? And how do you remain a hydrated fruit? Let's say, how do you remain not becoming shriveled inside and closed up when that happens to you? And I know it's happened to you. I know it's happened to you. People are just too busy. And you begin to think, well, of course, I would do the same. Again, remember I talked about yesterday about this whole concept of how we have to self-deprecate and we have to criticize ourselves and put out all these disclaimers. I'm ready to hand out cards. Yes, I have erred in my life. Yes, I do sketchy things. Yes, I have not been the best person in the world. Yes, you can criticize everything about me. Yes, there's things you're going to find out about me that are going to be, you know, certainly not beyond reproach. They're going to be very reproachable. And just let's just lay it out there. Here's my card. And here's, you know, if I have enough room, we'll put on a few of those things. Why do we have to go there? Because when we do that, we then feel obligated to understand when someone says, no, I can't. Now, it is a Christian Catholic thing to be understanding and forgiving, of course. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you rely on someone, when you have loyalty, but yet when that loyalty is shown to not be loyalty, we talk ourselves out of seeing the truth for the truth. So when we come back, we're going to talk about those things. I'm also going to talk about some things from the Sayings of the Desert Fathers from a book called The Book of the Elders, which is it's from the Systematic Collections. And it has some, just kind of like little sayings from the Desert Fathers. So they're kind of very interesting. So we're going to do that, maybe a little something from the Magnificat. And we're going to talk about love, life, relationship, family, and you, and how you can not only be what you want in others, but how you can start honing in your own eyes to see what you should be getting from others. So I am Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break, 573-4BREAD-4.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome. Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. And, you know, I started off talking about the fall and how that becomes a reflective time. Even if you're in a climate that is still 75 degrees, it's reflective. There's something about the Earth, the pull, where it is, how it is in the solar system, how it is in conjunction with the moon. We are very natural beings, and we really do have a tie to nature, as I've said before. So there is, it's not just poetic. It's, we have this elevator that goes from our feet to our brain that we just have all turned into express elevators. You just push the button, you go straight to the brain. So it must be something out of my brain. It must be something out of my mind. It's something I've thought of. No, it is integrated there. As I heard it said very interestingly enough, the mind is just a giant processing machine. It tells you, put this in this category here, put that in that category there. It's like this constant, like some kind of cartoon with a mechanical thing with a, like if you've seen those, like those little Star Wars characters of, I can't remember what they're called, but they're these, where they're like animals, but they're made out of metal and they're kind of clanky and they've got all these legs everywhere and they're doing all these different things. So it's like you've got this octopus, this metal octopus of your brain, and it's just taking little things as they come in and just taking it in. Okay, got this over here and I put it in all these little categories and I got to quickly process it and spit it back out, package it. I've got to package it in. So think about it that way, that you're a processing center. That's what your brain is. You are not only your brain. We've come to believe we're only our brain, but we're not only our brain. Poetry may be filtered through the brain. I saw a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful video taken in the 1950s of, I think his name is Elliot Gould. Oh gosh, what's his first name? He was a genius pianist. And they showed him as a young man at his piano. And they showed this transcendence that happened in him, where they did it just talking about focus, but it was more about the transcendence. If you watched him, it was as if he was communicating with something other. And that's where we need to be. Something other. So when you get the more aesthetic, when you get the more ethereal feelings, such as what is loyalty? What is comfort? What is your responsibility? What's generosity? What's generosity of the soul? This is what we need to develop and nurture. We don't hear about that. There's no such thing as generosity. Generosity always has fingers crossed behind the back, always has a condition, even if the condition is just thinking I'm a great guy, thinking I'm a great person, patting me on the back. So when I started talking about this guy who does my car, I didn't really understand at the moment how much love and how much comfort that gave me, not because I was afraid for my car, but because someone was there that I could rely on, and that his generosity came through his little text. So fast forward now a few years, and I've always called him when I needed some. And he actually came over, he and a friend, and because he said, don't touch your car, don't turn it on. And right there in my tiny little garage, he just did what he had to do. He drained everything. He spent about 3 or 4 hours and did not charge me very much. So it was just great. And you know, I tell that story to everyone I meet when I recommend him. And he didn't do it so that I would tell that story. He did it because that's him. So fast forward, he has a little daughter now, a tiny little, she's like 2, I think. And he married, and all this happened earlier than he had ever planned. And so they're living in very meager means. And I wanted to have him check my car out because I'm thinking about making a quite a long trip. And so I went to his place to bring my car in, and they've got a little area that's down where he can actually work on cars. And so I sat, they invited me into their home, this little tiny home, invited me into this little tiny home in a little area, poor area in a little city close by here in Southern California. And it reminded me of many of the places that I'd been to, and throughout it was kind of untouched from like the old time neighborhoods. They were just there. And so I'm there, and they invite me in. And while I gave him the keys, and he asked me if I wanted a pastry. And then his wife got up and got me something to drink, some bottled water, I think it was, and little girls running around. And it's just the sweetest little thing. And it's a beautiful scene. And there's no screens on the windows. The doors are wide open. And one of the reasons that I brought it to him is because he can kind of help with this little girl. So we're, you know, he's doing my car, and I'm talking to the wife, and she's, you know, baby's running around. And so there's a big dog on the other side of a fence, and the little girl likes to give some food to this dog. And so we walk around, just walk over into the person's yard, the neighbor's yard. And so we're there with a, you know, kind of petting the dog. And then this little tiny boy comes out, and it's just all like, it's just part of a day in the life. It is not anything. There's no texting. There's no, you know, can I do this? Can I do that? Don't touch my dog. You might sue me. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, this is, there were no barriers there. And the woman came out after a little while who owned the dog, and she's, you know, talking a little bit, and then she gets in her car, and while we're still at her house with her door wide open, and gets in her car, takes her little boy and goes off to a doctor's appointment. And it really reminded me of things that I experienced a long, long time ago. But what was this? It was connection. It was neighborliness. It was not worried about who's going to sue who owes who now. So many people that I know, it's all about, if I give this much of me, what am I going to get back? Or you're being held accountable all the time. You can't ask for a favor. So we need to start with me. I need to start with me. You need to start with you. You can look back at your harvest. Sometimes it's slim pickings. Sometimes you had great bountiful times. Maybe this summer it was the best crop you ever had. And you're cooking away, and everything's going well for you inside, internally, and spiritually. Maybe it's been a little barren. Maybe you're starting to close up inside. Maybe too many hits, or maybe you are yourself are becoming stingy. I happen to know another person in quite the contrast, who I always in my own head sometimes, you know, and again, this is a judgment. Yes, I'm Michelle, and I am making a little bit of a judgment here, but and I know why. I understand where this person's come from. I know the history of this person, but they are probably the most stingy, generous person I've ever met in my life. And what I mean by that is that they can be extremely generous, but there's always a scorecard. It's always a score, and it doesn't have to be money. It can be emotion. It could be connection. It could be everything is bought. It's all bought and sold, bought and sold. Doesn't have to be with currency. So I want to talk a little bit about Ruth too. You know, Ruth from the Old Testament, because talk about loyalty. Loyalty of being told there's a place in Ruth where Ruth is trying to help her sister-in-law. That she's been pretty much commanded, like, go get your sister-in-law, Naomi. And I'm sorry, not Naomi, but go get your sister-in-law. And here's what you need to do. You know, just get her and bring her back. I don't, you know, the whole story is kind of irrelevant. But there's a point here. It's Ruth. It was in found in Ruth, the first chapter of Ruth. Ruth basically said something beautiful. Stop urging me to abandon you, for wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will become my people. Your God will become my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be. And there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I do not keep my promise. Only death will be able to separate me from you. I mean, really, have you ever seen or heard that kind of loyalty? You may have said it with your wedding vows. Till death do us part. But when it came down to it, there was the fine print, till death do us part, except if I don't want it anymore. But Ruth is saying, and then it goes on a little bit, and we'll catch you on the side of the break. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped trying to dissuade her. And the two of them set out on the journey until they arrived in Bethlehem. The whole point for me bringing this to you today is that Ruth lived loyalty. And that loyalty is a fundamental quality and virtue that we need to start planting now. See you on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. We're having some fall reflections here. 573, 4 bread, 4. They're a little disjointed. They're a little, I don't know. They're kind of like the cloud cover here. The kind of sun's peeking in and out here a little bit. But, you know, I just could feel that air, that change. It's still 75 and sunny. And yet there was fall. Fall is here. The earth just is tilting a tiny bit differently. And there is a time for reflection. Ask the animals, Job 12:7, ask the earth and it will inform you. That's what God said to Job. So the earth does inform us every day if we just but listen. And we can't listen when we're in our brain and we're so decided on everything. We have definition and boxes for everything. And the ethereal things such as loyalty and beauty and communication with God is still delegated to a little box somewhere. Or a definition that you see in your head in words or a soundbite or some little quote. Loyalty is important. Now, do you need to be loyal to a given person because they're defined for you? How about being a loyal person so that if you are loyal to humanity, doesn't mean you go and ignore everyone else to do something outrageous. What it does mean is that you are a loyal person so that if you're loyal to God first, and in being loyal to God first, God living inside of you, you will be loyal to you. You must be loyal to you. That doesn't mean that you have to have your nails done while someone else is starving. Or it doesn't mean the converse, that you have to give up everything and go feed the poor. That's Mother Teresa was called to do that. But what you need to do is look at yourself, look at the qualities, look at virtues, and see where some of them may need to be fed a little bit. Maybe the ground needs to be tilled a little bit and maybe a little crop burning in there. Loyalty is one of those things that encompasses everything you need. And that can be, of course, under the umbrella of love. But loyalty encompasses and presumes love. And it presumes if you are loyal, it means that beyond all reason or desire or enjoyment or sense, you are loyal. Abraham was loyal. Ruth, super loyal. Here, well, Abraham was super loyal too. But we have so many of our biblical examples, but we have so many other examples. Why do we want to log on and see YouTubes of dogs that keep going to the, I remember, because I did this, I think it was England. There was a dog that used to follow its master to the train station to go to work every day. And would sit there and wait for the master to come home at the train station. Everyone knew this dog in this town. And one day the guy didn't come back. He died. I don't know if he had a heart attack or something at work. And the whole YouTube story was that dog never left. The dog never left. This is loyalty. And we cry for that. And we think, well, that's a dog. A dog's loyal. That's part, ask the animals. Why do we love that? Because we know inside of us, it is desirable. It is beauty. It is, we want that. We want someone to be there for us like that. And we can be there for others like that. Now, a lot of you can easily relate to that when it comes to your children. But sometimes the little things we don't think about, that we don't have eye contact with our children as we're listening to them because we're doing Facebook or Instagram, or we're so busy putting our own children on Facebook and Instagram and, you know, texting little pictures here and there, doing videos, that we miss the moment. The child is always being filmed, but not seen. Think about it. Do you do that to your children? Eye contact does something into the brain. It does something to the brain. They know that when a child breastfeeds and or it has to be bottle fed, the way the child is held and the gaze the child has, every part of its body is connecting the little dots. The gaze the child has into the mother's eyes before there's even focus is communication. The eye contact says, you matter, because you put your gaze to what is important. Dogs do it. We do it. We put our gaze to where we're going. We put our gaze to what we want. Our eyes gaze on things that matter. They don't gaze on things that don't matter. So if you do not have eye contact with your child, or your child does not have eye contact with you, you are breeding a disconnected person. And you don't want to do that, but you may not understand you're doing that. There will be, they might be great people, they might be fine people, but you're robbing them of something that is intangible that you will never be able to prove a negative. If you're robbing them of something that isn't developing, you can't prove it, but just accept that it's true, because it is true. And look at you yourself. Do you ever want someone to look at you when you're speaking, or know that they're not doing something else? They're not multitasking you into, you know, you're right along there with scrubbing the sink. We now think it's great. We actually celebrate that you can do five different tasks while you're talking to someone. And this really came down to me when we go back to that situation with my car. As I'm standing there, I'm realizing, you know, this reminds me of when I was really little. And that was kind of what everybody did. You just kind of, you knew the person next door. Hey, how you doing? You go over, pick an orange off their tree. Don't even think about it. And they come over and do the same thing for you and the ease and the connection there, knowing that this young lady, this young mother, the wife of my car mechanic, could call her neighbor probably anytime and say, hey, would you please watch my daughter? I got to run over to the store. Or conversely, if the little girl was outside, the other mom would be watching, just like this young lady be watching the little boy next door. It just would be. It's what you do. We don't have that. The more we get into our own worlds, and the more affluence and the more education, the more little boxes we put ourselves in. Do you know your neighbor well? How comfortable are you with them? There are people who, I've heard a story recently of someone who'd lived 30 years next door, giving little jobs to their children and laughing when they would come over and pick oranges off their tree, and letting them pet the dogs and giving them little Christmas presents. It was an elderly couple, and they watched the family grow up. They watched the mother grow up herself in that very house. And then they watched her children grow up. And when it came time for the elderly couple to go to live with one of their children, because they were too old to keep up their house, and they had no help or very little help, and somebody hit a mover, hit the side of a limb of a tree that was growing over the alley. And it happened to be this family's tree, this with all the kids. And in a short order, a feud happened. Just as they're leaving, after all this time, There was no loyalty there. They literally sued the old couple for harming their tree. That's not loyalty. That is not being a loyal person. They could save all the trees in California. They could go to all the homeless shelters in California. They could do all these. It's like, what is it that works without faith or empty? Where's loyalty to the human being that was your neighbor? And then we can even go further. Where's loyalty to the person you said, till death do us part? Faith without works is dead. Well, I'm saying the reverse to that right now. That's what Jennifer, thank you, Jennifer. So I should not have quoted that. That was not the best quote. But faith without works is dead. But works without faith, I think it's if you do something without love, there's something in there somewhere. Somebody can tell me. 573-4BREAD-4. Better bail me out of that one. But let's close this particular segment with saying that loyalty is the vitality of love. It's the vitality of friendship. Without loyalty, one act of disloyalty shatters trust, shatters relationships, shatters faith. That one act was so harmful to the elderly couple that it shattered them. And at their age, it caused them to wither in some respects. So think about your life and where you are in this word called loyalty. And we'll see you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Dr. Michelle, 573-4BREAD-4. You're with me on Breadbox Media, Dr. Michelle Live. You can email me, DM live, breadboxmedia.com. So, loyalty. Really important stuff here. Now, I'm going to read to you just real quickly from this book called Sayings of the Desert Fathers. This is just one tiny little saying. It's kind of like little excerpts, little quotes from whether they're teachings or writings, poetry, stories, all different kinds of things from the Desert Fathers from, just right after, I think, it was more like right after Constantine, I think. I'm not really positive. But anyway, it's the Desert Fathers. And it was right about, I guess, 500 maybe. So yeah, probably right around there. When there was the new asceticism, when it was like, well, we're not really martyred anymore as strongly or persecuted in those respects, so that we kind of martyr the flesh and we go out to the desert and we begin to go more inward. And perhaps that's where we need to kind of be in our own selves. But here's a little thing. It says, quote, teach your heart to observe whatever your tongue teaches, unquote. Now, that's a little proverbial. Let me say it one more. Teach your heart to observe whatever your tongue teaches. Why is that important? Your heart, teach your heart to open your heart. All your words will say, again, as I said, till death do us part. I will always love my children. I will always be loyal to my children. Of course I'm loyal to my children. Of course I'm loyal to my friends. I'm a loyal son or daughter. But your heart needs to open up to understand, are you really there? Are you a Ruth? Most of us aren't going to be a Ruth. We're going to talk ourselves out of God's voice. Well, did he really mean that? And he probably didn't mean I have to actually move there. He probably didn't mean I have to actually get off of work today and go over and sit with somebody. But in talking about this loyalty and how you can crush someone internally by being disloyal. And in the story I just told you, the elderly couple, what's the deal? It's an old couple. They ended up going off somewhere. Years pass. I hear the story, but years pass and no one thinks twice about it. The old couple or the disloyal neighbors. But the reality is something died in them. And what died? The fact that you've got some damage to a tree, that it might be a very old tree, beyond the other people's control. And you're going to take an elderly couple who are moving by virtue of the fact that they cannot survive on their own any longer. So therefore, we must empathize a little bit that they are in some kind of problems. They have some issues. It could be physical, mental, it could be anything. Or they'd still be in their home. And it's more important to, rather than rush and see what you can do to caretake your tree that got damaged inadvertently, it's more important to to sue the people about it, to have it on their head that a lawyer is going to be chasing them. You know, I mean, this is not a loyal human being. Now, I'm not going to judge them forever, but it wasn't loyal to the friendship. We all make mistakes like that. So, you know, yeah, but think about it. Faithfulness. That's all part of loyalty. You remain faithful because you are loyal, and you are loyal because you love and because you have God's love. You rely on the fact every single day you tune into any of these programs, any of them, every day you go to Mass or every day you search for God, you want a loyal God. And that is supposed to give you comfort because he is loyal. He will not faint. He won't grow weary. He will always be by you. If there's 99 of you that are under his flock and you are the one who happens to wander off somewhere, he's going to go looking for you because he cares, because he's loyal. And he wants you to be loyal, but he also wants you to ask for loyalty. He wants you to have loyal eyes. You cannot have loyal eyes scanning out, looking at the precious gem, finding the one beautiful, nurturing plant coming out of the ground. If you keep believing the rhetoric, if you keep being dulled, well, that's just business. That's just nobody will look out for me if I don't look out for me. That's just business. Well, everybody does this in divorce. Why are you having a problem with it? Why can't you move on? Read that to you yesterday. Written that blog written yesterday on moving forward. So often these things are written because the very people that are hurting inside, this in this case, a woman who lost her child, they hear things like, why can't you just move on? Or you'll have another. And these are sometimes they're very well-meaning. Sometimes they're said in anger. You always hear, and it's true. A lot of times people who go through the most horrible times in their lives lose a lot of friends. And they lose a lot of friends because they're scared. They're like shaking dogs or scared animals. They're yapping a lot. They're not making sense. They're not, you know, a fun friend to have on your arm. They're difficult to listen to. Another story. We'll do this last segment. This today's reflective and reflection stories. But there's a woman who is a shut-in, a woman who has a debilitating disease and has for a long time. It's made her a little demented. She's got some dementia, although she was very young when she started having the dementia. She's had her huge share of tragedy. She had a death of a child. She's had two divorces. She's had people taking advantage of her. And she had financially, it's very, very sad. But there's one person who remained a friend. And that person knew her as a teenager before all the tragedy and all the disease hit. And even though the friend who I spoke to said, it's very difficult being with her and I can't be there very long, because it's the same thing over and over and over again. But she has made it her loyal duty, her mission. And she didn't say it this way. And this person doesn't have any faith base that I know of. But she said, but I make it a point to visit at least 4 times a year. And by that, she doesn't live down the street. She lives 3 states away. So this person, for all this time, has made it a point to sit with that friend just by virtue of the fact that they were friends. And to me, that is beautiful. No one else is going to, you all know it now, but no one's going to see that. She just walks in to her little house. That's it. But that's love. That's beauty. That is going to the one out of the 99. She doesn't have her companion anymore to go talk to or go to coffee with or talk about men or talk about kids. Doesn't have that at all. She listens to the same painful morning every time they visit. When the Bible says in Proverbs, anyone committing adultery with a woman is in want of heart. He that does it is bringing his own soul to ruin. And when I read that one sentence, is in want of heart, anyone committing adultery, this is not a dissertation on adultery, but what it says oftentimes is when you have a physical and or emotional fulfillment of your own, with a total disregard of the person you have said, you're my friend, or you're my husband, or you're my wife. When you do that, where is your heart? This is what this proverb basically is saying. Where is your heart? And what you do is that you begin to become that disloyal person. You don't weather the storm. That's a really fundamental part of life and love. And again, it all comes from God. God is love, but that loyalty is what I want you to ponder on today. I want you to ponder on loyalty. I want you to think about how do you show loyalty to yourself, to God first, to yourself, to your children, to your husbands, to your friends, to your coworkers, to your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. How do you show that loyalty? Again, think about that. Think about nurturing it. It's fall. It's a time for reflection. Start to look at how now that the whole harvest has been taken for this year, why don't you look at your ground and see where can I lay just a couple seeds? How can I prepare this soil for when I lay the seeds? I want something like that loyalty. I want to see about that. I want to ponder it. Let me help prepare the soil. Start now, start today, and we will see you tomorrow. This is Dr. Michelle.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.